Almost all of us experience some kind of stress or trauma in our lives. So why does it trigger mental health issues in some people, but not in others? Some people do have genes that predispose them to mental illness. We were just talking about genetic testing, but our experiences play a part too. And in recent years, researchers have been exploring that relationship between mental health and epigenetics, which is how the genes we inherit are controlled and expressed. Divya Mehta is one of those researchers. She's been looking at how environmental health factors like social support and exercise influence our gene activity and therefore our mental health. Welcome, Divya.
Thank you, Tegan, for having me today.
So, Divya, if all of us are experiencing similar levels of trauma and stress across our lives, and of course there are some people who have much more trauma than others, but on the whole, most of us have the same, what makes us respond so differently?
Sure. So people respond differently to stress due to their individual biological, psychological, and social risk and protective factors. In terms of biological factors, there is the underlying genetic vulnerability, so the DNA code that we inherit from our parents, as you mentioned, but there's also epigenetics. This are changes in gene activity due to environmental and lifestyle factors. So it's really a combination of these different factors that makes people respond differently to stress.
So this is a really complex topic. You've got someone's genetics, you've got things that are happening in their lives, and maybe there's a gene expression associated with that. How do you actually study something as complicated as this?
Sure. So as I said, the DNA code is what we inherit from our parents. This does not change. But what does change throughout our lives is the activity of our genes. And these changes in gene activity can impact our health. So gene activity can go up and down in response to environmental factors called epigenetics, as I mentioned. Now we can collect biological samples from people. So by looking at saliva or blood or a cheek swab, we can run these in the lab and we can measure a person's gene activity across their entire genome at different time points and in response to different environmental factors. So really kind of getting a map of a person's entire life and different risk and protective factors that happen to them will explain gene activity changes and how this affects our mental and our physical health.
And so when you're taking these swabs, they're showing a different map at different points in time, are they?
Yes. So when we take a swab, we run it on a microarray, and a microarray measures over 850,000 sites in the genome. So this is across all the genes, all the known human genes that we have. So all of us have the same genes essentially, but the activity can differ. So for instance, before and after breakfast, or before and after exercise, or before and after stress exposure, activity of genes changes, and this can be measured in real time using these microarrays in the lab.
So you found quite an interesting way of controlling for checking someone before and after stress exposures. You looked at students who were studying to be paramedics, and you looked at them at the beginning of their course and then after they would have had to go out with the ambulance and presumably be exposed to a stressful situation.
Yes. So most of the research so far has looked at biological outcomes of stress at a single time point. And this is quite problematic due to many reasons. When we look at a single time point, we cannot distinguish what are the causes and what are the consequences of stress exposure. And the focus has really been on the negative impacts of stress. So a lot of my research has looked at post-traumatic stress disorder, depression, etc. But a lot of us remain resilient, and some people experience post-traumatic growth after experiencing stress. So our study looks at biological and health outcomes before and after exposure to stress among paramedical students. This is really important because by using such a method, we can identify which of the genes are altered as a result of exposure to stress. And we can also understand what are the social and the psychological factors that drive these changes.
Right. So you can't change your DNA, but you can change some of these environmental factors. What factors did you find were the most protective?
So our research has demonstrated that certain social and psychological factors are highly beneficial and act as a buffer, and these reduce some of the negative outcomes of stress on our genes. For example, individuals who have experienced higher levels of social support and those who have a strong sense of connectedness and belongingness, this could be to a group, a team, or an organization, these individuals cope much better with stress than those who remain socially isolated.
So you've got your social connections, that sort of makes sense, but you're saying that having a sense of identity or as part of a group, even if you're not physically with them, is also protective.
Yes, absolutely. So being part of a group, being part of an organization is some form of identity, as you mentioned, and also empowerment. So that itself gives you some kind of a team or an organizational or a community support. And this is very beneficial psychologically and what we see biologically as well.
So we've seen lots of people exposed to stress and trauma this past year during COVID, probably, well, it's been right up there for many people as like one of the most stressful years of their lives. Yeah. And we've been physically isolated from each other. So what can you talk about the implications of your research in a pandemic time?
Sure. So of course, the findings of social support and the findings of connectedness and belongingness is particularly relevant in current times. With the COVID-19 and the lockdown, it's affected everyone. What we are seeing more often is that people who have strong social networks and communities around them are coping much better than those who are not. And this is really exciting because it just shows that we can change our own lifestyle factors. And by doing so, we can drive our own mental health in a particular direction.
So if we're seeing the pathways within the body and there's a genetic sort of link there, is it also that there could be drug treatments for these sorts of things?
It is still in its early stages. However, there have been some trials looking at so-called epigenetic targets of drugs. Yeah, like I said, it's still in its early stages. Still, as I said, epigenetics is dynamic, which means by very simple changes to our lifestyle. So small things such as diet, changes in our diet, changes in exercise, changes in social circumstances and social support itself can also cause similar changes that we see when we look at drug-induced epigenetic changes.
Obviously, if people are struggling with mental health, they should seek professional help for it. But is as a sort of broad brushstrokes advice to people as to how to protect their mental health as much as they can from within their own power, what's your advice based on your research?
Like I said, so coming from the genetics perspective, you know, genes are something that we're born with, but the gene activity changes and we can change this by changing small things in our life. And as I said, social support, connectedness in our study seems to be two major and driving factors of these changes. In addition, we've also seen previously that exercise is highly beneficial, and individuals who've got a post-traumatic stress disorder and exercise regularly also have a very important buffering effect of the negative aspects of stress. So these are the simple lifestyle factors that we can incorporate in our daily lives.
Social connection and exercise. Divya, thank you so much for joining us on the Health Report.
Thank you very much, Segan.
Associate Professor Divya Mehta is the head of the Stress Genomics Group at the Centre for Genomics and Personalised Health at Queensland University of Technology.